Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello. In times of dire needs and dire straits, we are here to comfort you on the IGN UK podcast.
It's like the division out there, isn't it?
It really is. We're recording this on a Wednesday because we are aware we may be quarantined any day.
Yeah.
The office may be closed. We're
dark
getting ahead of the game.
Sorts.
That's why there's not a lot of news to talk about this week, but I think we've got a banger lined up. Matthew Purslow.
Hi.
Are you feeling like we've got a banger lined up?
Of course, it's always a banger. But I mean, some bang harder than others, right?
Well, you'd know about that.
I know, yeah.
Jesse.
Hey, how's it going?
Sleeveless hoodie, what's that about?
I don't understand what the issue is with sleeveless hoodies, because sometimes I don't really want to wear like a shirt or anything, but then I kind of like having the fact that I can have a hood. I don't get what the issue is.
Do you like having breeze along your arms? Is
yes.
that what you're saying?
Yeah, because you know, sometimes like, it gets hot in the office and shit, you know?
Write in, IGN_UKfeedback@.com. Do you think... IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
That's it.
Do you think sleeveless hoodies are a punishable crime?
Before we get into it, can I just understand why you have such hateful
opinions
on...
You just don't see them. You just don't see them.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's the same as body warmers in the sense of, like, you're going to have that sleeveless...
They was loving this.
It's the same premise.
Jesse, you can just admit that you want to look like a 90s Resident Evil character.
Yeah, that's true.
We've got to like the crux that. Of it. Do you know what we've finally got to the crux of? E3 is cancelled.
I know.
It is I'm no
devastated.
More this year.
My year's been ruined.
It's a good bit of fun because not only is it just a great place to be, it's that one or two times a year where you actually get to see a lot of your friends you don't get to see.
Yeah. I wouldn't know about that.
You know, have you got friends?
No.
Yeah, well, that is true. It's a shame.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Dell's just making...
Oh, because of the sleeveless hoodie?
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't got friends.
I wear that so often.
Just so sitting listening to this now, he's enjoying it, I think.
Fucking hell. This is fun.
But, no, seriously, if you went to LA wearing that, they'd kick you.
I mean, I wouldn't need to wear this, because then I could just wear, you know, a nice little t-shirt or something.
Anyway, enough of the bullying. Yeah. Let's talk about E3.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the corona... concerns about the coronavirus have caused E3 to be cancelled.
And literally everything else.
Yeah, which, let's lay out here, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like,
it is
important to look after people's health.
I believe there's an idiom. Better safe than sorry.
Exactly, wow. Simon, exactly.
And I don't like being sorry. I'm a very apologetic person. I'll say sorry if I've just accidentally bumped into someone and
didn't
mean it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
I'm a polite
true.
Person.
You're really nice. Like
I
that.
Am. And I'll let anyone wear whatever they want and feel comfortable about it.
That's not true at all.
But yeah, E3 is sad. I'm hoping Gamescom still happens.
Oh, well, who knows?
I feel like Gamescom's going to be the one permanent thing, and maybe this might be the time when E3 starts to die.
You have to remember that Gamescom is closer to massive problems of outbreak. It is closer to Italy than...
That's true, but I feel like Gamescom will always happen like going forward. I feel like E3 is going to change because of this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is E3 has, dare I say it, been in danger for some time. Like, it is an incredibly costly... event.
A lot of people theorising that this will be the time that... I mean, PlayStation have kind of already decided this, but
big
companies like Ubisoft, Microsoft realise they don't need it.
Well, it'll be this thing where... So I think for a large tier publisher like Microsoft, like Ubisoft, like Activision, all of these sort of companies, will look at the savings that they make by not having to attend a massive thing. You have to remember, like, so I have a little look through the keyhole because my housemate actually is the person that designs a lot of booths for these sort of areas.
You don't need to look through the keyhole. You're in the same house.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Which I wouldn't put past you.
Would you not?
No.
You seem to have decided that I'm a devious little shit.
Well, you
now.
Did start the last podcast by saying I'm basically ready to fuck on this table.
That's good, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, okay. I mean, it was ushered in by Joe.
I'd expect that from someone wearing a sleeveless hoodie. I wouldn't expect it from you.
I'm actually a nice lad, and I just want to wear some breezy clothing.
It's good. Do you know what? 15 degrees today. You should do.
Yeah, it's pretty warm.
My point of this conversation was that... So there are things like you wouldn't believe how much like it costs to set your booth up at E3.
$50,000.
Millions.
Like somewhere in between the two. Okay. But it's like aliens. The cost that it costs to actually, like, even just have like internet sent to your booth, which
I can imagine it's mad.
A huge requirement. So it does cost a lot, and I think there will be certain publishers that realise, wait, we spend all of this on E3, and yet maybe our views on our announcements would...
I don't think it'll completely go. I do think it will stay around, even if it is more front-facing. Do you think more people can come and play? More like what Gamescom is.
Do you think it might be like a digital version of E3? Like, people make their directs and it's just one long presentation.
I think so. Well, Microsoft have already announced this year that's what they're doing. They're doing version of their live stream.
Yeah, you might find that, as you say, it becomes sort of like it's a consumer fair for people to go. It doesn't become, because you have to remember, like, E3 technically is a trade fair. It's for developers to go to, it's for media to go to.
Yeah,
the thing that I think a lot of people at home might not realize is the amount of retailers that are in the demo rooms with you. Like, I can remember going to see Cyberpunk, and like, it was people from Argos that I was sat with.
Really?
Like, yeah, that are there to see, like, is this the product that they want to sell?
Is Argos a thing in America? Do.
Argos are a thing over here.
Oh, yeah, no, but I was wondering if they were a thing in America.
If Argos aren't going to stock Cyberpunk, they're just on a jolly.
But time. Like, Game are always over there. You know, those people are there. Yeah. But I think the one thing I do worry about is the more mid-tier developers, which I do think get a lot of eyes on through E3, that they don't normally have the reach to be able to get through their own fan bases. So, we'll see.
Interesting times we live in.
Yes.
I'm just sad because I don't feel like I'll ever get to experience the E3 that used to be E3 a couple years ago.
It's always next year.
Yeah, but
it depends on what happens. Amount. But it's
still
like
an
that,
exciting year.
Yeah, it's like that all the time, though, Jesse. Like, I've only been to E3 in person twice, and it's like, you'll talk to people that are like, oh, E3 five years ago
was like,
and then like, you talk to people that are older than that, and they're like, oh man, the E3s of when it was in seven different hotels.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Wow, it's a shame.
The dream lives on, Simon.
Yeah, as you were saying, it's a bit like The Division out there. I'm not sure it's quite reached, but you have seen a man in full gas mask get up.
I went shopping.
That's going to help someone.
No, I went shopping. I was in my local Tesco trying to get some pasta. Couldn't get any pasta because everyone's fucking bought it. Mm. But yeah, there was a man at the
pretty penny these days.
That's a shit joke.
But yeah, there was a man at the self-checkout who genuinely looked like he was cosplaying The Division. I'm talking full respirator mask situation, sealed sort of like gloves.
A sweaty shop just to get some pasta.
Yeah. Although most supermarkets are lovely and air-conditioned. And a nice respite on a hot summer's day.
Well,
do you know what also is?
That didn't sound sincere at all.
If you're looking to take some respite from the outdoors, which, who can blame you?
Yeah,
who
absolutely.
Maybe you'll want to play the new Call of Duty Warzone.
Wow, I know, what a fantastic segue.
Yes.
That dropped in hot, didn't it?
It did. You can drop in hot in Warzone.
Yes.
And two modes.
Yep.
You got your Battle Royale.
Yeah,
everyone
classic.
Knows what that is by now.
Of course.
You drop in your trios. I thought it was meant to be single, double, and trios. It
that hasn't been added yet. It's just trios yet for some reason.
Well, unless we haven't looked deep enough, and it just... I think it automatically puts you into trios.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to look deep to find the real answers in
We've not had a lot of time with it.
That's true.
No, well, we did play one game about an hour ago, and I believe
really good.
We got one win.
We did.
That's
which
true.
Means I'll never be playing it again, because 100%... is the best percent.
Absolutely. Don't need to touch it again.
No. What did we think of it?
I had a good time.
Same here.
Yeah, I had a great time. It reminds me of how I felt when Blackout started.
Okay.
I never got the chance to play Blackout, so I don't understand what the differences are between that and this.
It's fairly similar to me. I liked Blackout. It never quite gripped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I just thought the map was too big, and that's definitely, I think, a problem they have with this one. Like, I don't want to be... That's why I love Apex so much. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect-sized map.
Yeah.
You can run everywhere. You feel like you're constantly on the go.
Yeah.
Whereas COD, unless you find a helicopter or a car, and being in those cars unless you're driving is just boring.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think in terms of the traditional benchmarks of Battle Royale, this is very much more... It's a PUBG-influenced...
I never liked PUBG.
So you have a lot of objectives you can fuck around with.
Which I like about
as
it.
As well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's really cool.
I think the thing that I think that it brings to the table, there are a couple of new elements it has, but I think objectives on map is something really interesting. So that's not like... Obviously, something like Apex and Fortnite have their weekly challenges and stuff like that. Those are already in there. Like, expect that. But also, you can find tablets around the map, which will give you, like, smaller missions.
Like iPads, not
And they give you smaller missions. So, for example, you can do ones where you have to go and defend a location for a short amount of time. There's as ones, which is
when
sort
you
like
have
to do
kill
with
a specific player as well.
Oh,
that's what I got yesterday.
Yeah, or put bounties, which are cool. There's ones where like it'll take the data that you've learned of the map and you can upload it, and then it'll tell you where the next circle is.
Bit that's like, pretty cool. What's his name in
Pathfinder? That's where he can plug himself into the things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so those I think are really, really good. I think the armor system is interesting. It's like different from other.
I like that. Is there? I've only ever seen that level one of armor. Is there different levels?
No. So the whole thing is that like you can hold up to 5 plates of armor. Yeah. And basically your armor jacket can hold 3 of them.
Okay. Yeah.
So then you slide 3 in. So 3 is technically tier 3.
Because that's the one thing that frustrates me about Apex is
gold armor.
If you don't
if
you don't find purple or gold, you're basically done for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and they're not easy to find all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Whereas it's like if you've got the armor panels, like you've always technically got the best armor in the game. It's just you need to fill it up.
That's what I've always found that with COD is, it does rely on pure shooting. If you're the better shot, you will normally win the fight.
And you're going to feel a lot more comfortable as well if you end up finding your own loadout when you're playing as well, because obviously you drop in and you're probably using weapons you might not be familiar with, because when you play COD, you have your specific loadouts, but you can get like drops inside the map, which allows you to like choose any of your custom loadouts, so then you'll feel a lot more comfortable
from the main, from the main multiplayer suite. If you've made loadouts, you can have those airdropped into the map. And if, because obviously we have to remember this is also a free to play standalone game as well, so you in the menus you can make a loadout
still
that you can pick.
100 gig though, on its own,
it's really a chunky boy.
I downloaded it, so I deleted Modern Warfare a few weeks ago because I frankly couldn't have anything else on my console. It's
because it's like fucking huge,
and I just downloaded Warzone. That was 90 to 100 gig I think, just for that.
It's big. I mean, sort of like, admittedly, that map is huge.
Yeah,
the textures are really good, and it doesn't use any replicated buildings.
No.
Well, so they say. I haven't verified that.
That leads me on to possibly my favourite bit about Warzone is the gulag element.
Yes.
Which is when you really die, you get that one chance to do a one-on-one fight, which is a bit like the gunfight mode in COD, which is, you both have the same weapon. I went in there once. I had the Magnum. I won.
Has it just been pistol so far?
No, I've had the shotgun.
Okay, so it's just random.
I've had a revolver.
It's exactly like gunfight.
Okay, cool.
And I just love that tense moment, because while you're waiting as well, you can just watch other people fight.
Yeah, throw rocks at them and punch people as well.
Joe was telling me, I haven't had a chance yet. Apparently, you can bet on it as well.
Really?
As you're watching.
Wait, what are you betting with, though?
Because don't you have...
Do you get currency?
Yeah, you have money, because you have to pay to revive people, don't you, to get them back in.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is like, if you win the one-on-one, then you get to come back into the match. If you don't, and so, for example, we were playing as a three, you won
we
your
1v1. We both died at the same time.
Yeah. You won your match in the gulag, I lost mine, but Jesse luckily had got enough cash on him on the map to be able to go to a buy station where you can buy lots of different things, which one of those
like
is
perks
a revive.
And stuff like, not, I mean, not perks, but kill streaks.
So
stuff,
the only way
it?
That you can get, because you can get the classic Modern Warfare perks in the game, but to get that, you need to get your loadout dropped.
Yeah, that's it.
But at a buy station, you can buy a revive for someone that's died on your team and they'll just drop instantly.
Yeah.
You can buy a self revive, which means if you get downed, you can inject yourself to get yourself back up.
Yep.
You can buy packs of armor plates. You can buy ammunition, I think, possibly.
You can buy like mounted guns and stuff.
Yeah,
like
well, kill streaks is what you can buy.
Yeah.
But that's what I've appreciated about Warzone is it's doing a lot to combat the thing a lot of people don't like about Battle Royales is if you die and you're not playing friends, they just leave the game.
Whereas
there's a lot of incentive to hang around because there's two different ways that you can be brought back in the game if you die.
And that's the thing, there is a lot going on, because when you compare it to like PUBG, which is just drop in, hang around a bit, and then kill. Compared to this, you have tons of objectives you can fulfill and like come back if you get the chance and stuff. Yeah. It's a lot more interesting.
Do you still think there's one or two quiet moments? Like,
the map is big.
It's too big. I know there's 150, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that is a lot of... Because how many people are in
teams,
ground war?
We won. Just point that out again.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were downed. Let's just point that out.
You won it at the end, but we still did
Let's be absolutely fair. Like, you did get, like, the last three circles, I think, was you were the only person alive, Jesse.
It was
so
very terrifying.
I'll absolutely give you that.
Sweaty hands.
I don't know what...
But yeah, the map is very, very big. The one thing I do like about the size of the map is that it genuinely feels like a country.
It feels like a place. You have the core city and stuff like
Whereas the thing about Apex is Apex's map is quite clearly has been designed as an arena.
Yeah.
Because that's what the fiction of the game is,
like
right?
Different biomes inside of it.
But the fiction of the game is that there's this giant gladiator arena to find the Apex legend.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Warzone is trying to make it a bit more like it's a big sort of fight in a real country.
Yeah.
So I like that feeling about it. But because of how big it is, it does feel there's long stretches between and the combat is a lot more lethal than Apex, so Absolutely. The combat can be over like that.
Yeah.
Because time to kill is so fast.
Yeah, like,
if you get shot from behind, mm-hmm. you're not going to have time to turn back.
But that's why I enjoy, and I think Matt, me and you enjoyed it a bit more than Jesse. There's also Plunder.
Yes, Plunder I think is a great idea.
Which is all about
idea.
That hard cash. Tell me about that dollar, Jesse.
I mean, just the game mode is effectively, you're running around and collecting cash from, what, little supply boxes that are dotted around the map and then...
Or killing people.
Yeah, or killing people.
Or doing missions. Six different ways to get cash.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to get cash, but essentially you have to get cash, go to these specific points, or unlock an item that allows you to drop off your cash, and then it gets faltened out like in Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
But the whole point is to earn enough cash, and the more cash you earn, like, the higher visibility you gain on the map, so people can see who the top earners are in the mode.
And it's the first team that gets that hard $1 million.
Yeah. I think we got like almost 50. 600 grand.
Was it 600 grand?
That was decent.
You're top 10, you're
I think my main problem of it is that, like, compared to Battle Royale, where obviously the map is like closing in on you, like, and we're just discussing, like, the map feels sometimes too large. In this mode, I feel
it
like
it never gets smaller.
Yeah. So you're just, you could be walking around for like 2 minutes or
and
something.
And it has the problem, I think, a lot of people, including me, found. Was it Ground War, the big battles?
Yeah, so I don't like Ground War.
I quite like Ground War.
People just, but if you get a sniper rifle and the top of a building, you
dominate. You're staying there.
And it's just not very fun if you're at the bottom just with an SMG and you're like, I can't do
it. See, that's the interesting thing I found about the Battle Royale is because it still has the same map and it's a proper Call of Duty combat system is you do see a lot more vertical firefights than I see in a lot of other games.
Yeah, 100%.
I think Apex has that verticality,
you can only rig up like 4 flights is the biggest building.
Yeah, whereas in this, like, you can go to the top of a skyscraper.
And that's like 12 floors there, which would be snipers.
I think that's very cool in Battle Royale because it's then kind of like, when the circle shrinks, is it going to be, are the people on the top of the building going to be in the circle, or are they going to be out?
It's just not as fun in Plunder when you're respawning every 15 seconds then just get shot as soon. Because you can get shot as you parachute in as well.
Yeah.
Like one time I didn't even reach the ground.
Yeah.
And we sometimes go on the loop of like, because obviously you're going to down more players than you are going to kill them straight away.
Mm.
So we'll down a player, they'll get up, they'll down us.
Yeah.
And it's just that constant loop a lot of the time. Like, we've got caught in that.
I should probably point out, just in case we haven't made it obvious, in Plunder, not only does the circle not shrink, there's no circle.
Yeah.
But you respawn like you would in most of it, except you start in the sky and you have to parachute back down.
And it is a huge map.
But I quite like what I think it doesn't have the tension of Battle Royale, which I like. What I think we probably need to do is you probably need to learn certain tactics for clearing the map. So you land, let's say, furthest west you can, and then you learn how to wipe sector by sector and move your way across the map.
Yeah.
Because I think that just aimlessly running, you end up going in circles. And
if you don't have a plan, you'll never complete your objective.
This is true.
Another idiom.
Great.
You're so wise, Cardi.
I am. I am a bit of a soothsayer.
Are you?
Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies.
Oh, that's a good, good way to live.
Way to live.
Yeah. It's also a lyric from a church's song.
Really? It seems like a David Brent quote, is it? I don't know where they've taken that from. Last week.
Yes.
Ooh. Like I said, this week, there wasn't that much new stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us are playing stuff we can't talk about right now. But maybe next week you'll hear
if we're not dead.
We did talk about the PlayStation 2 because it was 20 years old.
I know. What?
Can you imagine? Where's
my favourite console?
The thing is, we can keep this going.
Were you 3 when it came out? 2?
I was born in 97.
The thing is, though, Cody, we can keep this going because it's the 20th anniversary of it coming out in Japan, but it didn't come out for us for a few months later.
Irrelevant.
It carries on.
Yeah.
But I have here an email from Alex Fisher, who says, "Hi guys,
Sam Fisher.
I've just had to swerve into a motorway services to write this express my disappointment and horror that the Prince of Persia: Sands of Time wasn't mentioned on last week's PS2 retrospective.
Fools.
Sands of Time was the first game that showed me that video game movement and combat could be fluid and beautiful. One-to-one movement inputs gave me an enormous sense of accomplishment as you flipped, rolled, and slashed your way over, around, and through enemies. The setting was beautiful, the story very, very compelling for having such a small cast.
Mm.
The first time I saw parkour videos in the mid-noughts, I thought, cool, they're copying Prince of Persia. I still watch the Ubisoft E3 conference, RIP, each year, hoping that we'll get another game. Sadly, I haven't been let down for the last 9... Oh, I have been let down for the last 9.
I was going to say, what are all these Prince of Persia
games?
Except
when Aisha Tyler hosted them. She was brilliant.
Yeah.
Much love, Alex. Heading back to Cumbria.
Hold on. Is he saying that he doesn't like the... It's not just because Prince of Persia hasn't been announced, but he doesn't like them since Aisha Tyler left?
I think it's a combination of they haven't announced Prince of Persia and she isn't doing them.
Because, I mean, there's always Just Dance, and that's what makes Ubisoft... Ubisoft is my favourite.
It's very entertaining.
I was on the list to go to it.
Oh, so good.
Would you just dance? Because I was writing a preview and I was like, do you know what? I want to be good.
Were you writing the Gods and Monsters preview at the time? Was that
I was, yeah. I had to get that out for embargo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because otherwise we wouldn't have had anything.
Genuinely, my favourite E3 moment from... I know I've only done it 2 years, but Ubisoft, when they announced Odyssey, like that conference they did, because it opened with Mad Just Dance, then the guy from Trials on his little motorbike.
I remember that.
Going around the stage. Then you've got Assassin's Creed Odyssey, one of the best like intros that UB have done. I had such a wicked time.
I can imagine that.
I luckily got to go to one. I went to Bethesda's last year.
And that was nice.
Good fun. Everyone's just having such good Doom times, Eternal. You know?
Mm-hmm. Got to see that Ghostwire Tokyo madness. Yes.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Anyway, E3. Let's talk about Prince of Persia. I don't have a great love. I never really played Prince of Persia that much.
I mean, which ones did you play?
Not really. Like, Sands of Time is the one I played a little bit of. I enjoyed it. I never owned it. I played it at a friend's house.
Yeah.
So I've not played Sands of Time.
Really?
No. So the one that I have played is... Well, I played a little bit. Is it the two?
The second one is, I think, the Warrior Within. And then the third one, I can't remember.
So I think I've played Warrior Within.
Was the cel-shaded one just Prince of Persia?
Yeah, which is the one that
360.
Yeah, which is the one that I really like.
I hate that.
I thought a lot of people really like it.
I think it's almost Shadow of the Colossus-y.
Yeah.
In terms of it's like not got a lot of combat, and then you just do single bosses, and it's a sort of love story, which I'm a sucker for.
You're a romantic.
I am a romantic, Simon.
A randy romantic. must love the Prince of Persia, because he does not like clothing his sleeves, Jesse.
I mean, what?
I'm just getting He's a very sleeveless
man. I'm getting parred off because of this.
Stand up for Sands of Time.
Okay, I will.
And sleeves.
I played them as a kid, like 1, 2 and 3 on the PlayStation 2, because me and my brother, we absolutely loved them and stuff. But we hit a wall when Prince of Persia for the 360 came out.
Okay.
Because the previous ones, like, as they went on, they got a bit more gritty and a bit more violent and stuff like that. And obviously as...
It went through his emo phase, didn't he?
Yeah. Basically, especially in the third one when he literally gets like a demon on his shoulder and shit like that. But the third one... Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
The fact that you couldn't die... properly, like you'll drop and then your friend would pick you up, and it felt very cartoony.
Lego games, and
I wasn't used to seeing cell shading graphics, and I just thought, like, man, this is a huge turn off for me.
Was it after the first Borderlands?
Yeah.
Was
I can't remember. Sure.
Right, okay.
But maybe it was like a year before.
Yeah, because that's when I first. Is that the first cell shading game? That was Mad World. Was that cell shading?
Well, no, 13 would have been the first one, right? I'm not going to willingly say it was the first one, but it was one of the earliest ones.
About 13.
Aren't they? They're doing a re-release.
Rumored, or is it remastered?
No, I'm fairly sure.
Confirmed.
It's confirmed. Nice. Yeah.
Remaster the shit out of that. Call it 14.
Yeah,
but that's a nice little segue, because Jesse, you claim the PS2 is your favourite console, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's what I grew up with. Like, the first console I played was the N64, but, like, growing up as a kid, me and my brother, we had the PlayStation 2, and we probably went through, like, this is going to be bad. I think we went through, like, 7 PlayStation 2s.
What?
I don't know.
What were you doing with them?
We were just rowdy lads, just fucked up my PS2s.
You were fucking your PS2s? Yeah, exactly.
What?
No, honestly, I don't know how this happened yet.
I'm disgusted.
I've never broken a console.
Oh yeah, like
I've had one of each.
That's why I have all my consoles now, and I clean them very regularly and stuff. They're all in top shape. But I don't know how this happened. We just went through a lot of PS2s as we were
They're
kids.
They're known as one of the most rugged consoles of all time.
I honestly don't know what we did. But
I need to know each of these. Like, it's like Henry VIII's wives. Like, I need to know the reason.
I remember we had a lot of colours. We had like a few. We had a couple fats, and then we went to the slims and stuff. And that's where like
the slims didn't even have moving components. You just had to open the lid.
Honestly, it just might be the case that, like, you know, you tug the controller and the fucking just the slim goes flying or something.
Because
you know, having a heated
I can remember when I used to frequently go to my friend's house, and he got a dog.
Yeah.
And I can remember playing, I'd taken a game with me and my memory card, and I think it might have been Splinter Cell, and his dog like getting spooked at someone outside and ran straight through the wires.
Oh no!
Scratched my disc.
That must have been it. All the memories are like repressed in my mind.
Hardy.
But no, like there's so many genres that were introduced to, like with the PlayStation 2, because I think it was great for horror games. Had a lot of first-person shooters, tons of platforms.
That leads
as
us
well.
On. Have you got a couple of favourites?
I think.
You're only allowing him a couple. We did three on
last. Two or three. Say how many you want.
I have tons.
Not four.
But, I mean, I think Metal Gear Solid 3 is a good choice.
We briefly mentioned that last week. That was pretty much fourth or fifth. But it was runner-up for me.
Because for me, especially as a kid, like I loved James Bond, especially like the older ones. And then when I played Metal Gear Solid 3, that kind of introduced me to like...
Jesse, did you play the James Bond games on PS2?
Oh yeah, all of them.
Like, fucking Everything or Nothing.
Yeah, it's so good.
What a banger.
And the co-op campaign as well is honestly brilliant.
The little gulp of delight from you then. I had a sudden memory.
It's really good.
So there were three.
Nightfire?
You had Agent Under Fire, you had Nightfire, then you had Everything or Nothing, and I think Quantum of Solace was the final PlayStation 2.
Wasn't there From Russia with Love?
From Russia with Love, which had Sean Connery voice acting it, except he was really old and sounded out of breath.
his avatar was really young in it. Yeah. So I love Everything or Nothing, which at school was like the least popular choice because it was a third person shooter rather than a first. But I really liked it that it was a third because you could do like the James Bond punch ups.
There was a mix of like driving sections, obviously third person shooting, then a bit of brawling as well, and some stealth too. There was so much content
in
that game.
And seducing.
I mean, there wasn't enough for my liking, Cardi.
Oh,
but
you're a fucking horny lad back in the day.
But I love those games so much.
I think I prefer Nightfire, just because that's closer to Golden.
Nightfire.
I think Nightfire is the one for me. But
Nightfire.
So good.
But Metal Gear Solid 3 is... I still don't think there's any game that's... Any game? I don't know. There's... The way that game handles boss battles.
Oh, it's so good.
I should really play this game.
Have you never played it?
So
He's only played the first couple of hours.
I never played Metal Gear 1 and still have never played Metal Gear Solid 1.
I've only played Twin Snakes and not 1.
So I've been really hoping to at one point, because I still own my Wii, which obviously is backwards compatible with GameCube. If I could ever find a copy of Twin Snakes, that's how I'd play it.
I have a copy.
Do you? Well, maybe.
And it's worth a lot of money.
But I came to it in 2, and I really like 2, and I know that is generally the...
As a kid, I couldn't get into 2, not because it's like Raiden and all that stuff, because I wasn't introduced to MGS until 3, and that was specifically the subsistence version where they had the third-person camera. Mm-hmm. So I finished 3, and I was like, oh, I need to play 2. Found a copy of 2 at Game, and then I played, and I was like, oh, these camera angles... I hate them. Because as a kid, I was like, I'm used to my, you know, like my third person, so I'm not the classic camera angles.
Getting locked in,
So it does the Resident Evil style thing where the camera's locked up in
It has like the locked in positions and
not
stuff.
Not isometric, but it's lower than that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get into that as a kid.
3 is just special. That's the only Metal Gear game I love, I think. Mm. It's the perfect mix of
story and gameplay and stuff. And it had a lot of like the modern advancements that like were then introduced to MGS5, like being able to, you know, crouch.
If you have do you know like some of the bosses? Do you know how to beat some of them?
So
like, there's a couple, I don't want to ruin it.
Right. So the ones that I know is because obviously I've played about the first, I'd say 2 hours on Vita, but I tell you what, the Vita's controls are the reason why I had to stop playing it was because sort of like that little thumbstick on Vita is not good enough for the aiming.
Yeah. MGS3 on the 3DS is actually pretty good because it uses the Peace Walker engine, so you can actually crouch walk in that.
But so I've done, I think the furthest I got through it was, is it the Pain that's the guy with the bees or the hornets?
Yeah.
Who's him? I know there's a guy at the end. No. So I've literally
no. In there's the boss called the end.
Oh, is he
the old guy who's
and if
a sniper?
You just wait, he'll die.
That's the famous
everyone
one.
Everyone knows it.
Yeah, you just wait there, and he will just die. And is it him? Which boss is it? You can basically kill right at the start, and you don't have to
fight
him
later.
It's not
right at the start, but like a couple hours in, there's a moment where the end is on a wheelchair, and he's being pushed into one of these sections. And if you have the sniper rifle at that point, you can shoot him, and he'll explode. That's really cool.
And basically you don't have to fight him later. It's just cool.
Being able to actually do that, and your window of opportunity to do that is like 10 seconds.
Right,
yeah. I know Kojima's kind of, not a laughing stock now, but like it's easy to take the piss out
of
Kojima.
He's a bit of a meme.
Just because he's obsessed with guns and boobs, isn't he? So.
That game, I think, shows... That's the one that shows how much
it's when he was at his peak.
So for me, what I understand of 3 is it's kind of lays the groundwork for what is my favourite MGS, which is actually Ground Zeroes.
Yeah.
So the reason I really like Ground Zeroes is that it's like compact and it's dense, and like there's so much you can do in a small area.
Yeah.
And it's got that almost Dishonored thing, which is why I don't like Metal Gear 5 all that much.
I don't particularly dislike that game.
Yeah. 5 is too big, too repetitive. It's basically got two quests that lead to various...
Yeah, it's kill target or extract guy, and that's literally it.
And I just found that like if I use
the odd boss...
Yeah.
And even then, they're weak.
And I found that I just ended up being in a very repetitive motion. But the thing I really like about Ground Zeroes is it's just a real... Because it's got that immersive sim sort of vibe, it just encourages so much creativity.
And there's so many ways to mess around in Ground Zeroes as well.
Yeah. And I really like the Cold War element of Metal Gear. Exactly.
And
so
3,
this is why
you've kind
3.
Of got that Vietnam sort of feel.
Yeah. So that's why...
Very, very, very good.
Can you... They haven't done a release on PS4 like player thing.
MGS 3?
Yeah.
No, but you might be able to do it on PlayStation now. The latest release is like the MGS HD collection
on
PS3 and Xbox.
I'm on the Switch.
I tell you what, if PS5 is full backwards compat, I won't have a leg to stand on anymore.
Oh, it's so good.
God, I hope.
Have you got any more?
I'd like to say Resident Evil Outbreak. And I would choose Resident Evil 4, but everyone always speaks about Resident Evil 4 and how it's the best fucking thing. Yeah. For me, though, like the main reason why I like...
That's a co-op one, right?
Yeah, it is co-op. As a kid, I played it single player, and I'd watch like YouTube videos of people playing it.
When you were a kid, you could watch YouTube videos.
Yeah, mate, you're fucking great, man. But it's that kind of mix of a bit of modern Resident Evil, but still holds that like classic feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm playing it a lot these days, just because through the use of like emulators, and like you can even just do it now on your PlayStation 2 because people are running these servers playing it cooperatively now. So I have friends who like will jump on Discord and play Resident Evil Outbreak today, and it's just really, really fun.
There we go.
What a world we live in.
Outside the box choice. I bet you have one more outside the box choice as well.
I'd like to say Disaster Report.
Really? Oh,
is that
it wasn't
game?
The
is
other
that
one you were going to say.
With?
I know what it is. You said another one. I thought it was going to be.
I know. I'm just going to mix it up.
I do know what Disaster Report. I've never played one, but I do know what it is.
That's the thing for me. I'm not a huge fan of survival games in general, and like if games are a bit more on the realistic side, then I'll tend to gravitate towards that. And when I found Disaster Report like a couple years ago, it is that kind of like low tier budget Japanese.
See, it's one of your favorite PS2 games, and you only found it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. And I absolutely adore the
series.
You,
I don't know what Disaster Report is, aside from I've heard you talk about it, but I don't know what it is. Could you explain?
So
you'll love it.
Essentially, what's that game? Is it called Left Alive? By
So when you were talking about it, the thing I got in my head was, I Am Alive, isn't it?
Is it I Am Alive?
No, Left Alive is the absolutely appalling one.
Oh, no, that's the really shit one. It's not that.
You're thinking of which one are you thinking? Left Alive is a terrible game.
It's the one that takes place in, like, you know, the destroyed city and shit.
And you can
like
pull guns out on people, even if it's not got ammunition in it and hold them up.
Okay, I'll think of that one then.
Yeah, okay. So you can't really do that in Disaster Report, but essentially you're just a normal guy and, you know, a city has been hit by earthquakes and tsunamis and shit, and you're essentially trying to escape your... Like, you know...
Trying to climb up dilapidated buildings.
Yeah, yeah. You avoiding debris and all that stuff.
The Rock in the film San Andreas.
You're not as ripped, unfortunately. But it's just... It's a really cool mix of, like, just realistic survival. Like, you know, if there's an earthquake happen, then you have to, like, hunker down so you don't fall over and stuff. You have to... You can pick up different items, like... You know, wear a hard hat, so if a bit of debris falls in your head, you're going to take less damage and stuff like that.
It makes sense.
It is... It's a fairly silly game as well. There's one point in one of the games where a chef is hanging off a bridge that has collapsed. And one of the options is, and you can interact with a lot of characters in the games, and you have like dialogue choices or actions you can do. You can either try and pick him up, you can just smile at him, or you can pick up his chef hat. And it's just
and
like,
smile at him.
Yeah, I know. And it's just like, it's one of those like, it's got that somewhat realistic survival element to it.
With like, a bit of Japanese charm.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just really into it. And, Disaster Report or Raw Danger 4 is coming out next month in April and stuff. Ooh. So, because it's been released in Japan for a while, but then I think the tsunami happened not too long ago and the development stopped for a while. But now the English release is coming out soon.
So, presumably,
you are super stoked, hyped. That smile says it all.
Yes.
I'm guessing that's a current gen version of.
Yeah, yeah, that is the new. It's the new game that got released in Japan like a little while ago, and it's getting its English version on like Switch and PC and PS4 and all sorts.
Nice,
so pick it up.
There we go. Those are Jesse's PS2 games. We'd still like more feedback on what were your favourite PS2 games?
What's your favourite Game Gear game?
There might have been some obvious ones we missed.
Did you
say
favourite Game Gear game?
Shit.
Yeah, I know.
Remember how many AA batteries a Game Gear used to take?
How many did they take?
Like at least four or five.
And that would last maybe 2 hours?
Yeah.
That is shit.
Yeah, IGN IGN.com for PlayStation 2 games. And a reminder, are sleeveless hoodies a crime?
It's the perfect mix.
I did put a call out for feedback last week, and lots of people responded.
Nice.
We gave people the objective, Matthew. Ooh,
we did.
Of their dream games. A combo of a studio and maybe a franchise or a license that I'd like to see used by the studio to make, in quotes, a dream game.
Yeah.
Wow. Not a game in dreams. That's a different thing. Well, you could make
although you are
dream
the dream
game
master,
in dreams. I'm a dream weaver and a dream catcher. I'm the boy of your dreams. Let me in.
Sorry about that.
So, let's read out some people's dream games. Ooh, let's start with you, Jesse. What have you got?
I have a lovely bit of feedback from Matt Music, which I hope...
Matt Music, yeah.
Matt Music or Matt Music. He says, gentlemen, extremely long-time listener, first-time emailer. First and foremost, you're all disgraces.
Of course. Good.
Secondly,
I'd like to put an end to this, actually.
Oh, okay. All right. Just interrupt me.
Yeah, I will do. Joe doesn't like the praise. I quite like it. So I don't know about you guys. I'm all for people telling me I'm good.
So I genuinely think I'm shit, so I need people
exactly
to remind me I'm okay.
Support, yeah. So let's ignore Joe in future and just tell us how you really feel. If you genuinely think we're shit, tell me.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. I'm not everyone's bag. Carry on.
All right. Thanks for your permission. Secondly, it's somewhat serendipitous that you were discussing dream combinations on the last podcast.
Serendipitous is a lovely word. Carry on.
I know. I was quite scared that I'd fuck that up. Yeah. As that is something my brother and I have been excitedly discussing recently. There is one dream game in particular that we would walk over our mother to play, which is... That's
extreme.
Harsh. Yeah. And that game is based on John Carpenter's Escape from New York. Ooh. Quite simply, the gameplay slash aesthetics would be a combination of Metal Gear Solid and Batman Arkham City.
Ooh.
Kojima Productions would develop the game with the game directed by Hideo Kojima himself, obviously. I need not say more. Keep up the top work, and listening to your pods whilst lifting at the gym is a dangerous combination.
Ooh.
Thanks.
Yeah, you might laugh too much and end up breaking a leg.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I initially thought it was going to be John Carpenter's The Thing. Then I remembered they released a Thing game, and I never played it.
Yes.
And I assumed it was shite.
No, I heard it was... It's apparently a hidden gem amongst horror games on the PlayStation 2.
I do remember going into HMV when I was younger, and it being... I was... choosing two games, and it was either between The Thing or it was the PS2 version of Half-Life, and I bought Half-Life instead.
It was a PlayStation 2 version of Half-Life 2
or Half-Life 1.
Oh, that must have looked like shit.
No, it looked great. It actually genuinely looked better than the PC version. They put in like a HD, well,
HD.
The old days equivalent of what HD texture pack would be.
That's mad.
Escape from New York by Kojima would love that, because he loves
But he loves Snake. That's the whole reason why Snake is called Snake.
Right? I don't know anything about that film. Is it like a post-apocalyptic kind of New York-y
it's
kind
Kurt
of...
Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Is he got the eye patch and like
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of wavy
yeah, yeah.
hair?
He's literally called Snake Plissken.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's basically... Would you just have... Just drop Solid Snake into...
Would it basically be like the Division...
World?
With more stealth.
No,
because
the Division,
it's almost like, because like Far Cry Blood Dragon was that sort of 80s effect. Maybe it was a bit like that, like Blood Dragon crossed with Metal Gear.
Yeah, I could imagine that.
I mean, you said Batman Arkham City as well, a bit of that in, a bit of the hand-to-hand
world.
Combat.
Yeah, I wonder what city. It's Escape from New York.
Yes.
Probably New York. Yeah. Doesn't have to be New York City though, it could be Buffalo.
But the film is Escape from New York set
could be a twist
in New York.
It could be a sequel, Escape from Buffalo.
Shit.
And you're just running away from actual Buffalo. You got an email, Matt?
I have, yes. Yeah. I've got one from Jordan Green. She is, hi guys, long time listener. I love an LTL. Love them. If Joe's on, screw the lot of you. Well, he's not here.
No screwing.
If not, love the podcast. Brightens up my frankly
there
miserable commute.
Oh.
Good, we love to brighten up.
Cheer up, lad.
First things first. Bear in mind, so something that we haven't discussed here is we did also discuss pick and mix last week.
Oh, God,
so,
yeah.
Really?
First things first, the only pick and mix target is the gummy snakes, which...
Is false.
Not the only target, but I do appreciate a gummy snake, and when you get the big ones and you can whip people in front of you...
Yeah, I don't feel like you can have too much gummy.
Do you like the ones that are just pure gummy or the ones that are kind of like got the marshmallow
on
the bottom?
I like a mix, a good mix, and you never... If you get like a handful of them and you just don't know... When you're in the cinema, it's dark and you don't know if you're going to get...
You should know what you're touching.
Yeah, exactly. And what's the best flavour of gummy snake?
I don't know. Well, I mean, they're all sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, but what's your favourite sweetie flavour then?
Orange.
Oh, that's shit.
No, yeah. I like the ones which are kind of like green and red.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, disgusting. Like gummy snakes. Both because of the novelty, never seen them anywhere else. I mean, you've got a...
What? Have you not been to, like, a Poundland?
Yeah. I tell you
Get
what,
yourself
the,
down to Poundland.
Is it the Natural Sweet Company? Yeah. They do good gummy worms.
They do.
Yeah. And their high squish factor, which I agree. Which That's is always a major concern when doing a pick and mix.
Oh, okay.
In brackets, fuck bonbons.
I like a toffee bonbon.
I'm not a bonbon person.
They're quite
can't
nice.
Find them that.
Also, bonbons weigh a lot.
And you'll get all the little like, sugary flour and it's like, all over your fingers.
Obviously, when you're doing a pick and mix, you do have to be careful about which are your heavy weigh-ins.
In this day and age, are we going anywhere near a pick and mix
exactly.
cinema?
No. Oh. I did think this because I've got to do my shopping on the way home and
Finger
I normally...
Food? No, please.
Yep.
So, would definitely normally try and buy non-packaged veg.
Yeah.
Good for the environment.
Not
no
anymore.
Way am
no,
I getting...
All of that plastic.
Everything frozen and then burnt to a crisp. Safe as you like. Do it.
Yeah. Anyway, on to my dream mixes. Number one is a Lord of the Rings CRPG from... It says Marion here, but I'm guessing it's Larian.
Okay, that would make sense.
Which, as we all know, one of my favourite developers
You'd
of all time.
You'd play that, wouldn't you?
I absolutely would. That. You make up a new alternative fellowship to take the... So it's an alt-universe version.
Wait, that's basically the Third Age.
Yeah, well, no, because the Third Age
I know how it plays, but effectively that story is like...
You have an
discount
alternate
fellowship.
Yeah. And they're trying to sort of like, if anybody hasn't played the Third Age, it was a PlayStation 2 Lord of the Rings game, which is basically Final Fantasy, but you had Lord of the Rings characters, and it was like you were almost like the B team that were trying to help like the A team get to Mordor. Anyway, so you make up a new alternative fellowship to take the ring to Mordor. The wrinkle is it's still multiplayer, so everybody is vying to be the ring bearer. This is actually very good.
It sounds like Battle Royale kind of.
There's a certain mechanic in Divinity Original Sin 2, which I'm not going to spoil, but does pit multiple people in the party against each other.
Oh, okay.
And so I actually think that's very, very... That's a clever change on that. So everyone is vying to be the ring bearer, and whoever has the ring has to pass checks not to be corrupted by it. A proper Lord of the Rings CRPG should be a thing.
Fuck Boromir.
I absolutely agree.
That's true. That sounds quite good, actually, because when you think of it, like, lore-wise, when someone has the ring, others are tempted to try and...
Yeah, and I sort of like...
Are you often tempted by the ring?
I'd love the idea that, like, there's maybe a skill that each character has.
Fucking joke, mate.
Can we stop this? What I was trying to say is there should be a skill that every character has that you can only do if you have the ring. So and it's an amazing, like, top-tier skill. And, like, are you going to backstab Jesse?
Well, yes, absolutely. Are there Gollum and or riddles?
There is going to be
he
a next gen.
He doesn't say it, but I would hope so.
I mean,
there's
going to be a next gen Gollum.
I hope that's just a riddle puzzle game. That'd be hilarious.
Also, Jordan has another suggestion.
Wow.
A Mass Effect game by Firaxis.
I didn't see that coming.
So, essentially, apply the XCOM formula to the Reaper War, a squad made up of all the council races and then the galactic map, which species that you can save and who can be recruited. It feels like there was a war in Mass Effect 3 that Shepard wasn't involved in the end.
That sounds banging, actually.
Mass Effect XCOM, kind of, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I'm into that. I mean, I love XCOM. Like, I haven't really said on the podcast much before
I love that style of game so much. Yeah. I'm just not very good at them. I get halfway through them all and realise I can't win.
Did you get into, like, the relaunch of XCOM, or were you a fan of the original?
I had never played an XCOM game until Enemy Unknown came out. Same. And I can remember I didn't buy it at launch. I think I bought it, like, a week later. And I remember ex-editor of IGN UK, Kazim McDonald, writing something about how it was, like, it had got an astonishingly punishing sort of level of difficulty at the start, but when you got past that, it became something incredible. Bought it, named everybody in my team after,
like,
all mates and stuff.
And shit, yeah. People you hate, so you kill them.
Yeah. And then, but, like, I think XCOM has one of the best, like, you get to a certain point where the tables flip and you're like, okay, I've got all the enemy's guns now and I've backwards engineered them and now I'm going to fucking own them.
I've got that urge to play one. Maybe I'll play. I never finished Mario Rabbids. Maybe I'll finish that.
Jordan's got a very last thing.
Carry on.
With it seeming that E3 is down the shitter, not seeming anymore, confirmed.
Yes.
Do you think it will bounce back, or have we seen our last E3? I think we've sort of covered that at the start of the show.
It'll be back.
I hope so.
I've got, to carry on a theme from last evening, one from Sandy Lamprey here who says...
That's a great name.
There we go.
I really like
it. It's got the Jesse approval.
Mm. Mm.
He gives that.
That's highly sought
zero
after.
Sleeves out of zero. Give the Final Fantasy team the Lord of the Rings license.
Oh my
God. I mean, that is the third age.
Exactly.
Everything should
happened.
Just be Lord of the Rings. Basically, a sprawling epic set in Middle-earth, mix of Shadow of Mordor combat with the team system of FF15.
Mm.
Tell the whole story of the movies.
Jesus.
Big open world you can travel around, full Fellowship playable. Also, fuck it, the movie cast return to voice it.
That would be great, besides one person not being able to. But I'm really into that. I'm really into that idea. I've always wanted, like, I know it's a bit different compared to his idea, but when I played Breath of the Wild, in my head, I imagine that as kind of like a sprawling Lord of the Rings epic.
Kinda, you could that game is a bit like the Eye of Sauron
in
the middle.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah. Just give us more Lord of the Rings games that aren't shit.
By the way, the Gollum one could be good.
Who can't come... Sorry, I've just blanked in my mind. Who can't
Saruman.
Come back? Oh, of course, yeah. But he's not part of the Fellowship, is he?
Yeah, you can I could do a good Christopher Lee voice. Not right now, and I won't do it, so don't ask.
Coward.
Yeah. Carry on. More. We've got more.
Oh wow. More. I'm so excited.
Stop looking at me and look at the...
looking into your eyes. This is from Ross Whitehouse, which is an absolute tank of a name. Hey, IGN. Love the podcast. Actually, praise redacted.
No.
I'm giving feedback because Cardi told me to. I was the one he was speaking to. That's right, me. Firstly, Scrabbles is having an absolute bubble. White Mice is peak pick and mix. What the fuck is White Mice?
White chocolate mice.
They're sort of made out of shit white chocolate, but they're actually quite good.
They're quite chalky and dusty.
Yeah. Wank.
Do you remember you could get the tools as well, which is weird, like the little spanner.
Yeah,
and that was a weird like
a screwdriver as well.
Why
maybe?
Were they tools?
That's mad.
But I mean, why does any like kids are obsessed with like
that's true like fucking
like little tool sets or like tea sets?
But if they eat that, then they're going to go home and try and eat a hammer.
No, they're not.
You shouldn't try and eat a hammer.
Kid
right.
Would do that.
Have you noticed that like our sweets?
I don't know who goes through 7 PS2s.
Listen, yeah, those controllers, they fucking fly off.
What I'm going to say is, what's up with shrimps and bananas? What's
going
on
there? They're actually really good.
Teaspoon toothbrush. Are they good?
I don't know.
It's all mad.
Let's continue.
Yes.
Ross Whitehouse is also quite partial to fudge.
I love fudge.
Yeah, I love fudge.
It's so good.
It's great.
Shut
when
up.
I was at uni, there were a bunch of people.
You just look a perv.
What?
When I was at uni, I remember just having... I had a moment in like my first or second year of uni where it was just like, I just want some fudge. And then that constantly became something that followed me. My friends would not let that go.
Well, yeah, you should know better
you
than
fudge, yeah.
saying that.
Great fudge conversation,
good, though,
it really is good stuff.
Aside from fudge, Ross also has more. As for the any IP/studio thing, I'd love to see Atlus give the stylish Persona 5 treatment to a point-and-click game.
Mm.
Those menu options, so pretty. Lastly, whenever I hear the phrase carte blanche, my wife and I will instinctively say, I thought we had carte... Is that how you pronounce it properly?
Carte blanche, yeah.
Carte blanche with the budget.
French,
that's what he says. He always thinks, they say, I thought we had carte blanche with the budget. A throwback to 22 Jump Street. Do we have any trigger phrases that sell for reflex movie quote?
Ooh.
Maybe Joe has a problematic Rush Hour quote. He can't help but roll out. Sorry for dunking on you, Joe.
He probably does. Do you know, I'll bookmark that. We'll come back to that one next week because we can't have too many topics rolling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a promise. I might not be on it, but it's a promise.
Promise, Ross.
Persona point and click. That is interesting.
Imagine Persona applied to Monkey Island.
I feel like that would be a bit too mad, because Persona 5 is really flashy, and if it's like a slow-ass point and click game with like just
a lot of the stuff in the world is quite slow and speech-oriented.
Yeah, that's true. I
sort of just like the idea of Guybrush rocking up to the scum bar and then sort of like a real jazzy number kicking
that
in.
Sounds great.
I would play that game. I mean, I'd play it.
Just give us a Persona 5 point and click.
Persona, yeah. They do dance games. Why can't you do...
A genre that's still very popular.
Yeah, it should be. It bloody should be.
Should be, Simon.
Yes. What have you got, Matt?
What have I got? Another one here from Andrew Lynch, who begins with, now, I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce this amount of O's, but I think it will be, hello, exclamation mark.
Wow, that's good really effort.
Good.
Good okay. I like how lowered it went.
I've not put any swearing in this one, as my last email didn't get read out
due to
swearing.
We don't normally cut things to swearing. No. Maybe it was just a bad email.
Unless Maybe
Google
say?
Didn't like
I
it.
I don't know.
Maybe
I wasn't picking him that week. I'm sure if I was picking him, you would have made the cut. But okay. You did this
week. You're a good lad. Mm.
So, a developer game link-up that I would love to see is if the team behind the Resident Evil remakes was given the Splinter Cell IP, which I'm starting to find a bit sacrilegious here.
Oh, God, here we go. Steady on.
So. No, steady Splinter on. Cell belongs with Clint Hocking.
All right, mate.
I have always loved stealth games, Metal Gear Solid, Batman Arkham Asylum, and the Thief series.
Resident Evil, well known for stealth.
Do you remember when they redid Thief and then that disappeared, didn't it?
What do you mean they redid FIFA?
Thief.
Oh, right, yeah, that was shit.
And then he says...
okay. It was.
Thief.
It was the new Thief.
No, so the new Thief new was... Thief. Yeah, but like Thief 2 is...
Yeah, that's good. I've played a
I tell you what, if we're talking about new Thief, though... Fucking hell, the hand animations in that game. Incredible.
Oh, when he's good finger work.
Yeah, exactly. I love
your
love
smile
it.
Tells everything, man. I hate it.
Anyway, I love the Splinter Cell... So this is back to Andrew. I love the Splinter Cell games, but haven't really played the series much since one of the later games, which I can't remember, so that's not good. if you missed out on Blacklist, you missed out on a banger. Ubisoft Toronto at the top of their game.
Oh. Wow.
Thank you, Alan Partridge.
From playing Resident Evil 2 and looking forward to playing Resident Evil 3, I think that a Splinter Cell game here would be amazing. I love the idea of spending my time in this looping maze Metroidvania as a stealth, plus the limited ammo and choosing when to use it carefully. But mostly I love the idea of the Nemesis Mr. X system in a stealth game, which is sort of, to a degree, Alien Isolation is slightly stealthy.
That's true. I just... I don't understand how you could. I mean,
well, so he's got he's planning out something.
I do
here.
Think that Resi engine is a great engine.
Oh yeah, it
looks incredible. Mm-hmm.
DMC5 looks great.
So he says, imagine hiding in the rafters of a room, planning who to pick off first, when suddenly an unkillable boss enters the room and starts to search the rafters for you because he knows where to look. This would add a better layer of stealth, and I feel it gets ruined sometimes when a guard chases you and then just goes back to patrolling because you know that guy you definitely saw shooting. That guy you definitely saw shooting another guard must have been a mouse or something. wow, holy mo, with no fucking swearing. Well done, me. Have a custard cream. Yes, have a custard cream.
Good biscuit.
I'm going to be honest, I don't see this working.
Yeah,
no, I don't know from that.
The thing is, like, with Splinter Cell...
Well, I don't know how the unkillable enemy factors
because,
in.
Like, at least in Resident Evil, like, you have Mr. X, who's, like, not exactly unkillable, but, you know he's not human. And then if you're playing Splinter Cell, it's like, I don't...
I tell you what, I play a Resident Evil stealth game this, and it was kind of like you went in as someone from, let's say... You were an Umbrella Corps, like, or a STARS secret agent, and you got all the stealth.
And you're going like into an Umbrella facility that's been taken over.
And you've got the Sam Fisher
shit.
Kit, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those games can be stealthy anyway.
I just can't imagine having a stealth game that takes place in, like, that's kind of Metroidvania.
Oh, no, I can. I absolutely can see that.
If it's Arkham Asylum, but Splinter Cell, I can imagine that.
So my idea for Splinter Cell, because I think like if they were to ever bring it back, you can't just make old-school Splinter Cell because the world's moved on.
It's going
to
be a bit of Siege, multiplayer-wise.
No, so I think the multiplayer one is the Spies versus Mercs. I've said that before. Yeah. But I think like a campaign Splinter Cell has to be more of a closing in on the Metal Gear Solid 5 thing. But I think it would be a massive compound, almost Ground Zeroes-like.
Yeah.
And it's about... Sam has one single mission that's made up of lots of objectives that fit together that in a larger open sort of area. And I think that I can absolutely see that as the next Splinter Cell.
That's one of the things I didn't like about MGS5 though. I like in Chaos Theory you have these, you know, so many different environments and stuff and obviously
but
little different
a Metroidvania
objectives.
Opens up as time goes
on. Yeah, that's true. But,
I'm intrigued. I think there's no way Splinter Cell's dead, surely. The amount of people that want
it. Best not be. I'll be pissed off.
So, from what I understand... Like, I think it's a small vocal set of people that want it.
Yeah.
But I get the impression that's still enough to make Splinter Cell. I just think...
There was enough for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, okay. I think it's out there. I don't think it's what would be announced at whatever Ubisoft do E3 next. But I think it's in the works somewhere.
Somewhere, Sam Fisher is watching us.
Of course he is.
To come out of the shadows. Do you know he's coming out of the shadows now? For his first Endless Search hosting appearance.
Ooh.
It's Jesse Gomez. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, on the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we're coming through. Yeah, on the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it Endless Search? What you got for us, young man?
So, we've spoken a lot about Warzone and it's got me in the mood for a bit of battle royale related go on name them. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's my first time. I want to go in easy.
Remind us of the rules of Go On Name.
You know what, I feel like I'm not that well versed.
You're hosting the game.
You're the quizmaster.
I am, but I feel like you guys can articulate a lot better than I can. So I'm just going to hand it off to Cardi.
It's our bidding game. It is taken straight from Nick Knowles.
Basically,
there'll be... Have you done five?
Yes.
Cool. Five subjects. There'll be a certain amount of answers in each. And me and Matched have to bid off against each other at the start. See how many we can name.
Without getting one wrong.
And then... Yep. Yeah, if it gets too high, too rich for my blood, maybe I'd say. I'd say, Matt, you name it. And if you can get them all, you get a point. If you don't name them all, I get a point. Simple. Yeah. Let's do it. It becomes apparent.
Yeah.
Just go with the flow.
I just like the sound of your voice when you explain rules. That's why I handed it to you.
I hate my own voice. Let's carry on.
That's great. So, the first one, it's a fairly simple one. I've gathered a list of 20 Battle Royale games.
Just
Battle over
Royale.
The past year.
Wait, there's 20 Battle Royale games?
Well, there's not. I mean, there are a lot.
Oh, yeah. Just pick 20.
These are the most popular.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. So the 20 most popular
these
Battle Royales.
These are all the ones that you will most likely know. And there's 20 of them.
Okay. Right. Are these pure Battle Royale games or games that have Battle Royale modes?
Some of them are game modes. Some of them are standalone.
Wait, so if they're a game mode, can I just say the game that it's in?
Yes.
Or do I have to know what their version of Battle Royale is called?
I mean, it will certainly help if you know the name.
We'll get that, I'm sure.
And yeah, there are 20.
Okay. Who wants to... I'll go with five.
Oh, that's decent.
Okay. Well, I'll try six.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Seven.
Oh, dear. Sorry.
Oh, it's getting tense now, boys. What are they going to do? They're counting on their fingers. They look like idiots. Yeah. It's getting tense. It's getting silence.
I'm thinking about
having a little think. They know what they're up to. Ooh. Which ones are they going to say? I do wonder.
I said seven, didn't I?
I'll do eight then.
You're a brave lad.
Good, because I think I was six or seven. So you go and name eight.
All right.
It's going to be some obvious ones.
Go ahead, Matt.
Right. Apex Legends.
Yes.
The best of them.
Oh, I've just remembered an eight. Fuck. Mm-hmm. What's the point anymore?
Today's new star, Call of Duty Warzone.
Yes.
Then there's Call of Duty Black Ops 4 Blackout.
Oh, yeah. You got that.
Then Fortnite.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is one.
That's a good choice.
Then PUBG.
Wow, he's on a roll.
Currently got five I was going for.
Then Ring of Elysium.
Oh, I wasn't going to go for that
another
one.
Another pick, yes.
Yeah. Two more. Then three more, sorry.
The Darwin Project.
Oh, mate, you're on a fucking
roll. You're doing
roll.
One more.
You're smashing it.
Yeah, then I'm going to go...
There's a big one as well, though.
For Dying Light Bad Blood.
Mate, that's another one I have.
You really?
Smashed it.
I was going to go for the Battlefield...
Firestorm.
Yeah, that's well popular, isn't it?
Oh, is that not on your list?
It is on my list.
Yeah, it should be, because it's a Battle Royale game.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of any other. You pretty much said all the ones I was going to say.
There are some good ones.
Go on,
ones here.
Give us some others. What ones will we definitely know?
Okay. Well, you have Fallout 76 Nuclear Winter.
They did add that.
Yeah. You have Tetris 99.
Of course.
You have Totally Accurate Battlegrounds, which is one which I thought you might have included.
No, it's not...
play Simulator, but it's a separate...
Oh, it's Battle Royale.
You have Bloody H1Z1 Battle Royale,
yes.
Which is another one. And a few others, like Radical Heights,
Radical Heights doesn't exist anymore.
I know, but I wanted to include it, because
DayZ doesn't have a Battle Royale.
No,
I think it does, but I didn't include it. I think it's a separate game mode.
DayZ is Survivor Games, which actually kicked all this shit off.
Basically.
Yeah. So there we go. That was really good. 1-0 to Matt.
Congratulations.
I'm lucky I didn't go, because I would have been struggling for the eight.
I tell you what, having worked at a PC site before has helped me out.
You have to know that. Yeah. Okay, this one, like, you guys have to know. There's 12 Apex Legends. Can you name all of them?
You go first.
Confidence from Cardi.
I'll start at 10 then.
Oh, shit.
Do I give you the chance to go for 12?
Is he going to name them?
No, I'm going to go 12, all of them.
Oh,
okay.
Shit. Go going on, all then. In.
Shit.
All right.
There's definitely going to be one I forget as well. But all I can go 11, because I think you'd go...
Let's have a little bit of fun.
I think I could do them all.
Get your brain working.
Okay.
Go on.
Gibraltar.
Oh, yeah.
Bangalore.
Oh, mate.
I'm surprised you're not going across the top row. Right. I thought you'd start.
Bloodhound.
Yep.
Lifeline.
Ooh, okay.
Bangalore.
You've already said that.
Have I? Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just keep going.
Mirage.
Oh, yep.
Octane.
Yes, that's one.
Caustic.
Getting there.
Revenant.
Getting hotter.
Wraith.
Oh, okay.
So is that three more I need? No, how many more do I need? Two or three?
Three.
which ones did I say and which ones didn't I say? That's the key to this, isn't it? Oh, God, what's her name? I've gone completely...
yes!
Are you talking about my main?
Yeah, here. I think so. Oh, what's his name?
A clue there,
Pathfinder.
Mate.
There's two more.
Yep.
There's two more.
Come on.
One of them... Oh, Crypto.
Oh.
And then what's her name?
That's...
It's... I'm pretty sure it's a W.
Oh.
Oh my, I can't believe. I feel betrayed.
I know. I just don't want to get it wrong.
You're running out of chances here.
She literally designed the Apex Shield. She's important.
I'm really.
Oh my God.
Crossing it with Warden from Siege. That's all I've got in my head. It's going in my head.
It's about to roll off the tongue.
I know. It's. Watson.
There you go. Congratulations.
Jeez. It was just, I had wardens. Do you know when you have something stuck in your head? And I'm like, there we go.
All right. The next one, and I've played a little
one
bit.
One all.
I've played a fair amount of this game now that I've joined IGN. It's the weapon rarities in Fortnite. There are six of them. Do you know the names?
I don't know the actual.
Oh.
I mean, there are some that you could potentially guess. You know, there's a few common names.
I'll go three.
Okay.
Four.
Five. You get all six. Five. Ooh.
Go on, name them.
Shit. Okay. Common.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I don't know if there's an in-between. I'm going to go rare.
Yeah.
Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Legendary.
Yes.
Uncommon.
Yes.
That's it. Five.
Congratulations.
I'm trying to think what the other one is. Is there like, they added one on top of Legendary now?
There is a final one.
Oh, well, so Legendary is not... It's Epic is the top because it's made by Epic Games.
No.
I don't think so.
No, I think Legendary is above Epic.
It is Mythic.
Mythic, yeah.
Oh,
Mythic
that has been
no, but it goes Legendary, Epic, Mythic, doesn't it?
It's Common, Uncommon, Rare, Epic, Legendary, Mythic.
Oh, is Legendary... Yeah. So I thought that...
No, Mythic is the final one. So Epic, Legendary, Mythic.
See, I thought that'd be a nice touch from them.
Yeah.
They didn't think it through.
I feel like Mythic is pretty higher tier sounding compared to Epic.
No, yeah, but I thought, because Mythic is new, right?
Yeah.
See, I always thought that they...
I think Mythic might have been around quite a while.
Well...
I've only played Fortnite like three times.
The thing was, is so basically in because all of these rarities have actually come from Blizzard, because it was the Diablo and the WoW system.
Yes.
And that was Epic, then Legendary, I think.
Mm.
And then I thought that they changed it the way around so that Epic would be the top one because it's Epic Games.
Mm. Well, there we go.
So, Cardi, 2-1.
Fantastic. And this is something we just played an hour ago.
No.
Oh, here you go.
It is...
Oh, it's going to be the fucking... Go on.
Don't worry. Can you name the vehicles in Warzone?
Vehicles?
No. There's five of them.
Oh, my. Do you have to give the specific...
Yeah.
Well, you bid first.
Okay, one.
Okay.
I don't pay attention
to
what
they're called. I just want to say...
I played one round
of
this.
Hold up. I just want to say that the names are fairly... obvious. They're fairly low key.
Two.
Go on, name them.
Fuck you.
I feel like you can get this 100%.
Because I only know one of them.
Okay.
They're fair. What? So I can't just, for example, I can't just say truck.
Oh, I mean,
I, like,
you know what?
Armored truck.
I'll give you one.
What are you giving him? What's the actual name?
You know what? I mean, I'm just trying to be nice today. It's cargo truck.
But that's not
close for me.
That is,
I wouldn't.
It's truck.
I can do
you
one.
Know, all right.
Quad bike, is that one?
There, not those? Quite. It's not the official one.
Oh, well, there we go.
Matt wins
there's one you can get.
100%. SUV.
There you go. You know what? I'm honestly surprised no one just said
chopper.
Helicopter.
Is that just
the name.
Oh, really?
They're fairly low key. Well. It's ATV, SUV, cargo truck, tactical rover, and helicopter. And the reason why is because you can actually read all the names on the menu when you're playing.
I'm too busy killing.
Listen, it was going to get a little bit more difficult.
It's all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It sets it up for quite the finale.
Ooh.
But as I mentioned previously when I was talking about Battle Royale games, I mentioned Tetris.
Oh.
Are you going to ask us what all the Tetrinos are?
Yeah, there's seven of them. So there's 7 Tetrinos, each of them having a letter named after them.
Okay.
Can you tell me what those 7 are?
5.
Go on, name them.
Okay. T. All
right. Yeah.
L.
Mm-hmm.
Do they call it I or L, the long one? I don't know what it's called.
I'll give you I.
Which one? Let's go for the S.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, is it just called the reverse S? I don't know what they...
I mean, you can call that a reverse S.
No, you can't, Jesse.
No, but I mean...
A Z?
There you go.
There we go.
And you know what? That was fairly simple, so...
Have you played Tetris yet? Do you know the rules?
I haven't played Tetris. Oh, I mean, it wasn't too long ago when I thought the different colours meant different things. Wow. And I found out that wasn't the case.
You know, there's probably a Tetris game out there where the different colours did mean different things.
I always thought that would be
the case. Were you messing up with Puyo Puyo?
I don't know. I haven't played that either. But, you know, that was a decent little quiz.
There we go.
You know?
3-2. Yeah, I haven't won one in a while.
Well, you know, so I thought I'd give you a chance.
Yeah.
Well, apparently I was on the winning streak. We have a listener that has it. And I've won a stupid amount.
I'm almost certain I've lost
this good.
All of them.
I need some competition.
I feel like I've won once, I think.
It's good going. Now you've hosted. You've done it all.
Yeah. That's really
Let's
nice.
Let's wrap it up with some more general feedback.
Oh, wow.
Again, you can write in. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
My favourite email address.
It all. I've got one from Rob Shearman who says, "Hello, gents. Insert nice comment here." So that's a nice comment.
That's really cool.
He's kind of covered all of our questions in one here. So it's a bit of a quick fire. So I wasn't going to email in, but as Joe and Cardi said, I had to. I didn't really have much choice. Figures I was writing in, I would answer multiple questions at once.
I just want to ask, when did you guys force people to email
in? Last week. I wouldn't say a force, I just encouraged. I was like, everyone who listens,
okay. But you see, when he did that, actually a man with a gun turned up at everybody's house.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And it wasn't me. Okay. Best pick a mix. Here we go. Strawberry bonbons. Wouldn't have been very happy with... I can't remember who it was.
It was Jordan... Yep, Jordan Green.
Rob and Jordan would not get along.
No.
As an aside, he hates it when people say pick and mix. It's pick and mix.
I mean, the in is and...
I agree. You don't say pick and mix, do you?
Yeah, but how about you you let people be?
It is odd if you say pick and mix.
Oh, I think it's fine.
Okay. Dream crossover. A wrestling game based on Glow made by Acclaim. I don't care that they went out of business. In the style of WWF In Your House. This is where we really need Dale in to tell us what
Acclaim,
the hell.
That was,
is Glow the film?
No, Glow's TV series.
The Netflix series.
Glorious Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, right.
Is it glamorous?
I've seen...
Or is it glamorous?
I think it's glamorous.
I've glanced
I found out the other day that one of the actors in that is voicing Tifa in the Final Fantasy remake.
Yeah, the things you learn in life.
It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Let's watch Tifa wrestle.
I'm going to assume that would be good. I don't know about wrestling games. But good on you, Rob. Other dream games? Always wanted a GTA UK where you could just buy different regions of the UK. London, Manchester, even Slough. Just so I could play somewhere I knew.
Buy these regions. That's like top tier criminal.
They're one step away from doing that in online, aren't they? Like, give us 20 quid and you unlock a new map.
I'd like that.
Yeah, Vice City in there.
Best PS2 game? Dave Mirra BMX. Controversially, the best BMX skateboard game / skateboard game.
That's an interesting
Better than
choice.
Any Tony Hawk or skate game. That is controversial and...
Certainly.
I don't know how to react. Finally, bringing back something from the past here, and I appreciate it. It's been a while. We might have new listeners. They might have new opinions. Best crisp flavour.
Oh, okay.
Walker's Max Flame Grilled Steak. I do like a Walker's Max. I'm a paprika man.
Yeah,
I think the steak sometimes is a bit of a burnt taste that I'm not big into.
It lingers on the fingers.
Yeah, not into that.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you're going to have a steak, get a bag of Roysters, don't you?
Yes, I had some of those today.
Just have an actual steak instead. Live a little.
But that's not... You're not getting a steak with your sandwich, are you?
That sounds great, a steak and crisp sandwich.
Well, yeah, that does sound good. But
you should have one of those. Yeah.
Keep up the above average work. I will try. Jesse.
That's really nice. And now we have something from Richard Taverner. He says, "Hey lads, to make Joe happy, I'm going to say you're all horrible people and your podcast is terribly dull. My question..."
This is actually... Joe Thomas is actually one of Joe's real life friends, and he told me, you're reading it, "Treat him with the disrespect that he deserves."
I think Joe's actually a really swell guy, so I'm not going to say anything negative.
Joe. Our
but I just want to say that I respect everyone here
respect
and
everyone.
Joe. Yes.
Okay.
Show it, party. Then. What? So, he goes on to say, my question is on VR. I'm still in the camp that VR still hasn't gathered the traction I think it hoped it would. It reminds me a bit of the 3D fad of the film industry we had a few years back. Do you think VR is the way gaming is heading, or will the traditional form of gaming always prevail? Interested on your thoughts. Keep fighting the good fight, Rich. The art... The retweet that also knows
the
that
RT.
He, the RT. I was going to say retweet. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm in that Twitter mode, you know. That knows EW that Joe was going on about the last episode.
I think VR is definitely less of a fad than 3D.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's going to keep that slow slow building up. But it's going to
I think we're about to see a moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the thing is with 3D cinema is it attempted to replace. Well, the idea was that it would replace normal blockbuster. Like, obviously, it was never going to change indie cinema or sort of like dramas, but it wanted to be okay. All blockbusters now 3D, and obviously that didn't happen because you can't force people to do. VR is just a different. It might as well be another genre, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's going to slowly build up, and games like Half-Life Alyx will certainly help that, especially as VR gets cheaper because the Quest.
Yeah.
It's a great entry point.
But I don't think the intention has ever been for games
VR
to just be
like,
VR.
No, but we're yet to play any Half-Life Alyx, but if our American colleagues, Tom and Ryan, who've played quite a bit of that,
our
current IGN first, and they think it is quite something, so...
Yeah.
I mean,
looks
I
like
bought...
Valve are at it again.
Yeah, I mean, I bought my VR headset basically to play... No. I mean, my housemate's got an Index, but I bought my Quest literally to play Half-Life with.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been playing some good...
Doesn't sound like you'll be disappointed.
Oh, no.
No.
I didn't expect so.
Yeah, after how many
very good.
Years.
Matt,
yes.
See us out.
Final piece from Chloe, and I'm going to guess it's either Hindmore or Hindmore, whichever one. There you go. You've got both options. Afternoon, everyone. I don't have any feedback regarding games or pick and mix. I don't like sweets. You don't like sweets, Chloe.
That's a sensible decision.
I mean, it's good for your teeth, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good for you.
And your overall health.
You know what I love? A rhubarb and custard.
I do like a rhubarb and custard.
Blumenek.
Not as good as actual custard, though.
No, custard is great.
Custard's good. Get that Madagascan vanilla custard.
I'm happy with any.
But I do have a weird dream. I know I'm a bit late with this feedback, but here goes. When I was about 10, I would have a recurring nightmare about my primary school. In the dream, I would be in school, looking in one of the cupboards, and I would come across this spoon. Well, what a terrifying thing to find.
I don't think it ends there, does it?
Yeah.
When I would look at the spoon and shine a light on it, skeletons dressed like pirates would crawl out of it and take over the school. In my head, you know in Monkey Island 2 when there's the skeletons that sing Hip Bones Connected to the... Got that in my head. They would then go around attacking people with their swords. It was pretty graphic.
The dream, just pirates going chopping down 10-year-olds. Yeah.
Why are you smiling when you say that?
Because I'm kind of thinking that sounds fun.
Yeah. The dream would eventually end with people tied to chairs with dynamite placed around their feet, and I would wake up absolutely terrified, refusing to sleep.
These are well armed skeletons.
Yeah. I can only assume that this was a weird result of watching Pirates of the Caribbean at a young age. Thanks for the great podcast.
That makes sense.
There we go. That is. Unresolved terror.
That sounds like a game I would want to play in dreams.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you just spray a bit of root beer on them, sometimes they go away.
There we go. Monkey Island.
I haven't played Monkey Island before, unfortunately.
There's just a lot of games out there, and
everyone
can't play all of them.
Also, please no one correct me about the fact he was actually a ghost at that point in the timeline.
Please, everyone correct Matt. There we go. What a lovely time we've had. Reminiscing, thinking about the future of games, yet the past at the same time. What a hazy world we live in. I can't wait to hear more from you, Jesse.
What? No, you
and
don't.
And you, Matt. Yeah, you know, just remember, wrap up warm, get some sleeves on you.
Yeah, great.
And I don't want any viruses clinging onto your arm hair. Okay?
All right, I'm sorry.
Good. Once again, IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com for... Pick a mix. Dreams.
Favourite game gear.
Yeah, dream games. PS2 games. Maybe we'll move on to a different console. Who knows what's happening next week? There was a weird noise in the studio. And, of course, are sleeveless hoodies a crime?
They're not. It's just clothing. Get over it.
See you later.
Bye. Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. Found my way downstairs and drank a cup. And looking up, I noticed I was late. Found my coat and grabbed my hat. Made the bus in seconds flat. Found my way upstairs and had a smoke. And somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.